I feel that audiences are very savvy about film grammar. They understand, or they think they understand, about shooting techniques when things have to be reshot and done from different angles and so on. But then you always find that when they're actually involved in a broadcast shoot themselves, they're amazed how long it takes and how much faffing. So I think they always think they know about it, but deep down they don't really understand everything that goes on. I don't think that they feel there's a huge distortion. I think they feel that some of those techniques, they have to be done and it's fine. And I think if you ask many of them and you explained it to them, you know, the kind of things that are done, that they would see it as entirely valid to make it interesting and understandable for them. The crew size makes a really big difference to whoever is being interviewed. But the impact on what they're saying is much less if the person is highly experienced. So a politician, CEO of a large company, they'll be trained, they'll know how to do it, so it'll hardly affect them. You interview some kids or, you know, anyone in, you know, who isn't used to it, and they will be affected and they will be less eloquent perhaps, you know, they'll be nervous. I can think of many examples where we helped the person being interviewed by, for example, I was involved with loads of schools programs. We would always take the camera in before the actual shoot day. We'd let them play with the camera. We would let them play with the furry microphone, which would always make them laugh. So then when you went in for the real shoot, it didn't scare them. It was fun and they understood it. When we're filming sensitive things with women, I've been on many things where we had an all-female crew, which really helped the person be calm. So I think the crew will always contaminate the content. So they won't contaminate it for a celebrity, for a politician, you know, other high-powered people. They'll be fine, they'll be used to it, but it'll contaminate it for your everyday person. And it's those people we have to think, well, to get the material, we need to change how we do it. And I know that one real benefit of the latest technology is we can shoot things so well on much smaller cameras. And I have two examples here of my son shot a video diary for his school of a school trip. Everyone knew it was happening. It had been approved. He used his small handheld flip camera and the kids were so natural with it. We got some beautiful insight into what they were thinking because it was a tiny camera. They weren't nervous about it. I know with the advent of new digital SLRs, because it looks like a normal camera that anyone might have, people aren't nervous. They don't think about it. People don't complain. It's easier to get better stuff. Even for me being interviewed now, it's a microphone in a lounge, it's fine. The moment it was lights, camera, action, I would be more nervous. So I think it's natural to affect people who are less used to being shot. And when they're affected and they become nervous, it's known that their brain doesn't work quite so well. They're not so clear thinking, they're not so eloquent. And so it would have a profound impact on the quality and accuracy of the content for certain people. And as we've said, for the politician, they'll be fine. They're used to that sort of stuff. I think it is advantageous for an investigative documentary to spend time with the person so they're ready, they're clear, and they're not nervous. So it isn't just about crew size being small. It's about preparing the person beforehand. So you've gone to see them beforehand. You've perhaps done a little audio interview. You've perhaps shown them some questions. If it's demystified and it's less scary, they will be better on the day. And so that's, again, it's the same difference between dealing with someone who isn't familiar with that, isn't used to that, and needs some hand-holding through the process, or dealing with the busy person used to interviews and you can just roll up. He has 30 minutes to spare and he'll just do it off the cuff. But I do think it is advantageous for everyone to have smaller crews, which are less obtrusive these days. For the high-powered person, they don't want to spend the time on it. It is better for them to spend less time. And obviously, if the crew is smaller, there's less stuff to actually set up. With news production, you can't meet people ahead of time. So what happens is only eloquent people get used. And I've been in many, many situations. I've edited news a lot. I've edited documentaries a lot. I've done news things where you don't have time to think. They've grabbed interviews with 3, 4, 5 people. One of them's not very good. You don't even listen to that interview. You know it was no good. That person isn't on. You literally, in a tough situation, without much time, you grab the highlights from the most eloquent people. Job done. There is a huge bias to go for people who seem to be the most confident and eloquent and who may not have the best knowledge. I have some good examples of doing science programmes. Scientists are often a little bit on the geeky side. They want to explain things extremely clearly, worked on school science programmes, news science items. There, you're always looking for the person who can explain the science in a simple enough, clear enough way to be kind of good enough, and that often isn't the expert. So you've got that issue of, if you had time, the expert's the person, but it's so much harder to get all the stuff out of that person. You're more likely to use someone who can sort of interpret it in a simpler way.